In Galatians chapter 5, we are continuing on with our study here on the fruit of the Spirit. We're here taking a look at meekness. We just want to wrap up this tonight, and I'm going to give a little bit of review here, and then we'll go into things that we haven't considered from the Scripture about it. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, that which the saved, that which we that have been regenerated, we've been given the Spirit of God living within, we've been rescued. We've been made alive. The fruit of the Spirit living within is going to yield love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against these, or against and regarding these, there is no law. There's no fulfilling of these. We won't ever hit 100% of love and say that we've got it done. It's going to be continually done through our entire lives upon this earth as the children of God. This is the manifestation of that river of life, that spring of life welling up within the soul that the Lord has put there. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example of all these fruits. And we, as it tells us in Colossians, we need to put these things on. So we need to be attentive about it. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us some things to add to our faith. And we'll find out if we take a look at those passages. I challenge you to do that. You'll find that adding those things added to the faith, many of them are repeated here that are the manifestation. We add them to our faith. We seek to mortify and crucify the old man, and those things that are added are exhibited in us. We're looking at meekness. We considered about Moses. According to the Lord and the Word of God there in Numbers, he was a very meek man above all men which were upon the earth. We took a look at the life of Moses. He wasn't a wimp, okay? I asked all the other day about some things that there was something we were watching. I can't remember what it was. The art of the world, and quote unquote religious art, and the depiction of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made into being a sissy kind of wimp, you know, long haired hippie freak kind of guy. The apostles, you know, they're all effeminate and just, you know, fragile looking and all that. Moses wasn't that way. Our Lord and Savior was not that way. He had power. He had power enough to kill a man with his bare hands. He had ability. He was trained up in the way of Egypt and had the best education in Egypt for those 40 years before he killed this man and went on. But we see how the Lord dealt with him. We saw how he intervened on the behalf of Israel. And he is indeed an example to us. We considered about what Moses preached and that the Lord would send a prophet like unto him. And we know that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw about how the Lord Jesus Christ, how he kept, I don't know how to say it exactly, how he kept his ability, his power, his glory, his grandeur, his greatness. He kept that suppressed, and even in those things that he experienced, that contradiction of sinners against himself, he did not break out upon mankind with his power, if you will, and destroy men. But he endured those things, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. He being the author and finisher of our faith, this joy was set before him. He endured the cross. He was despising the shame, but because he accomplished what the Father gave him to do, he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father, and that symbolizes and confirms that he completed all that the Father gave him to do. I mentioned to you last time, you know, when the Lord was in the garden, when he was there in the garden when they came to take him, you know, he told Peter, who cut off one of the high priest's servant's ears, he says, I've got 12 legions of angels at my disposal. And the thing is the Lord Jesus Christ created those 12 legions, didn't he? I mean, you know, he's got power. Remember how it said there in the Scripture that when they asked it who he was looking for, and he said, I am he, and they fell back. You know how they'd come with those staves and those knives and swords and all that stuff? The Lord kind of messing with them a little bit when he says, well, I was daily in the temple with you, and you didn't take me then. And you're coming out against me like a thief, you know. And he said, I am he, and they fell back. I could just hear all that stuff clattering around. Any of those guys wearing helmets or having shields or whatever, all that stuff, bling, bling, bling. And then they get up, and they just pursue on. Testimony to depravity, isn't it? When the Lord Jesus Christ was before, when he was born and Herod tried to kill him, he didn't do anything about that, did he? He was meek. When Satan tempted him, he answered with the Word of God, a great example to us. When he was doubted of even his disciples and the apostles, he exhibited meekness, didn't he? He stayed with them. We'll see about that in some scriptures we'll take a look at tonight, how we are instructed to be so. And when the city of Nazareth rejected him at the beginning of his ministry and tried to kill him, you know, he didn't just go and repeat Sodom and Gomorrah, did he? No, but he was meek. He had a purpose and a mission to accomplish. When they accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, he preached the truth unto them, didn't he? When they lied about him, when they slapped him, they spit on him, they stripped him, they crucified him, they mocked him, our Lord manifested meekness, didn't he? Because he came the first time as Savior. He's coming the next time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he came the first time as Savior, and he was meek in that calling. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's take a look over here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we see here the Apostle Paul admonishing the Corinthians here, and it's interesting what he says. And he's wrapping up the book, coming to the close of the book, four chapters to go. At the beginning of this 10th chapter in 2 Corinthians, verse number 1, he says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, I beg you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." He brings that out. He says, I think he's saying, the way I'm dealing with you and what I've challenged you in and what I've rebuked you in and what I'm encouraging you and admonishing you in, I come to you in this gentleness and meekness of Christ. He says, think about how the Lord has been with you. You know, the Lord, there are those amongst this church that have been made sick, right? There are those that have been made weak because of their despising of the Lord's Supper. There are those that the Lord says, the Scripture says, that they have died in this church. They sleep. But the Apostle says, I'm begging you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. But I beseech you. He says, he reminds them about the gentleness and meekness of Christ. He's told them, he says, I don't want to come to you and get tough and get rough about the things that you're disobedient in. But as it is with the Lord, and as the Lord works with His Word, I want you to hear what the Word of God says. I want you to hear this apostle that's been sent, been given the calling of the Lord, that the Apostle Paul had been given to work amongst the Gentile churches and to establish, be used of the Lord to establish those Gentile churches. He says, hear what the Lord says. Hear what your brother says. This meekness and gentleness of Christ. We always need to remember that as we serve and walk. In Galatians chapter 6, I trust a familiar passage to you. In Galatians chapter 6, here we're given admonishment about helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we take a look at this admonition of the Scripture to us and the Lord's churches and as His children to be meek. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he talked to them in chapter 5 about a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, gets caught up in sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not a, aha, we're going to get you, because you deserve to be got. But deal with them according to what the Scripture says. Public sin needs to be dealt with publicly by the church. But wait a minute, let us not forget, we as a church who are dealing with such need to remember that, saved by the grace and help of God, it can happen to me. So that's what this is saying. It's not a discipline from the Lord's body. It's to yield a peaceable fruit. If that one that has been disciplined from the Lord's body, if they are wayward and they are a child of God, that what the purpose, as our children disciplined us and spanked us, my folks spanked me, I needed them, it's to gain them back. Okay, if my folks hadn't disciplined me when I was a child, I would have just been more wayward than I have been. And the Lord has established that. And so the desire is that they be brought back. They be brought back. Be brought back into our midst. Or, if they're not saved, that it be manifested. We trust and pray into the Lord that it be manifested unto them and the Lord would save them. Amen. Either way, the bringing back of the wayward saint that has been a member of the Lord's church, has been removed of that, been set out so God could deal with their flesh. That's what the Scripture says. That they be gained back through repentance. They come back. Or if they're not saved, that the Lord would save them. All right? And so, but when this is done, it's not a, aha, we're looking to get you. You know, we're going to looking to zap you and shoot you down. No. It's out of love. It's out of care. It's out of a desire to tell the truth. Okay? The truth. We need told the truth about our sin. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We need to handle those things right. We need to handle them by the Word of God. We never need to be malicious. There's no place for malice and discipline in the Lord's church. There's no place for in our rebuke needs to be the rebuke from the Word of God, but it needs to be in love. It needs to be in love. It needs to be, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord tells us what He tells us for our benefit. Hebrews talks to us, don't harden our hearts towards the chastisement of the Lord, but we need to be soft towards Him, because remember, the Lord loves His children. And He rebuketh, He chasteneth every son that sins against Him. Right. As a child of God, does the Lord rebuke you? When you sin, when you do something that is against the Lord, does the Spirit of God speak to you about that? You know, chastisement of the Lord can range all the way from the still small voice speaking to our souls within. It can range all the way from that to death. These very books, or the book, the letters to the Corinthian church testify to that. Remember, those that despised and did not reckon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ correctly in their observance of the Lord's Supper, there were those who were weak, those who were sick, and those that had died. The Lord loves His people. And the Lord won't let a son continually bring shame to His name. Ephesians chapter 4, and then this admonition to meekness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, here is this begging again that the apostle does, the church at Ephesus, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, there's that fruit of the Spirit, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It doesn't say unity at all cost. No, we can't deal with this brother, because if we deal with him about this in his life, that'll upset him, and he and his wife, they'll load up and they'll leave. And so we just kind of got to push that one down. That's not what that says, is it? No, we need to strive to have unity according to the Word of the Lord. If I publicly sin, according to the Scripture, it needs to be dealt with by the church. If the membership publicly sins, it needs to be dealt with by the membership of the church. And our desire is that we be united. This passage, this chapter here in Ephesians, talks about the unity that is in the Lord. But he says there, with all lowliness and meekness, with these other fruits of the Spirit, we are admonished to be meek in our deportment and our operation in the church. You know, we've been saved. May God help us. We've been saved from pride. Pride's our problem. Pride is our problem. We think we know better. I'm covetous. I want what I want in and of myself, my flesh, my old man. I think I know better than God. I ignore the instruction of the Lord. Pride, because I think I know more than God as a man. Doesn't lead anywhere but to destruction. And so We need to be meek. Not weak. But we need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be representative of Him in all things. And never, 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 never to the passing or the ignoring of the Scripture. To preachers and pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we have admonition here. It's good for us all, but these are specifically written here to Timothy, a young preacher and pastor. The apostle here writes to him in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee after those things of the world and money and covetousness and such as that. Put that stuff in its right place. We need provision to be able to live, but don't live for provision. But use it well. Use it in the service of the Lord. Use it for the helping of your family. That's the way it should be. Be content with what we have. We have to work on that." But he says here, "But thou, O man of God," verse 11, "flee these things and follow after this. Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness, faith, love, patience." Once again, the fruit of the Spirit. Put it on, it says in Colossians. And in Galatians it says it's going to be manifested. The fruit of the Spirit is this. He says here, "Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." And Timothy kept on keeping on, didn't he? Not in his own strength, but in the Lord. The Lord had called him. And he wasn't ashamed of it. And the apostle is encouraging him, follow after meekness. Timothy, you're going to need it. You're going to need it in the calling that you've been called unto. In 2 Timothy, we see this mentioned again here, the brother is being admonished by the apostle. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I love this passage. I don't fulfill this passage as I want to. I need to. I need to do better at this. As the children of God, we need to ensue this, especially as the men of God. We need to pursue this as the Lord's preachers and pastors. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, be all worked up, stirring up a fight, not looking to keep things stirred up. Yes, stand in the truth, but not looking to just galled men. There's a balance in there, but be gentle unto all. Apt to teach. Patient." It took me a while in my life for the Lord to convict me about things. You know, because this whole life is not robotic. You understand what I'm saying? We've all got who we are. We've all got who where we've come from. We all have the baggage of our past. And we need to learn the Word of God, and we need to stand in the truth of God's Word. And as a pastor, as a preacher, we need to tell the Word of God and what He says, but everybody's growing at a different rate. We need to, I'm pastor here of Olmsted Baptist Church. I need to seek the Lord's face and will about what to preach and teach. And I need to pray that I'll be right in that. And I need to pray for you that you would receive it. Not because I say it, but because what the Lord says. And one may get it sooner and one may get it later. But meekness speaks about not going and just looking to pound. I told you when I came here, Lord, be in my helper. I'm not going to pistol whip you about anything. I'm going to pray the Lord will move within us all and convince us of things. Lord, you know, if you have Brother Jim Duke conviction, it won't last. I'm going to die one day. I may change my mind. But you got conviction from the Lord. And an absence of conviction isn't an out. You need to reckon what the Word of God says. Okay? The instruction is in the Word of God. The commands are in the Word of God. Just because we don't have conviction about it doesn't give us an out. And Brother Stephen, he's teaching on these matters of conscience. And this is, I tell you what, brothers and sisters, if you've been in this class and you listen to these lessons that our brother are bringing, this study is meat indeed. Because if you and I don't take this and put this in its right place and understand what it is, we can fly off this handle, we can fly off that handle. We can get in either ditch in a real hurry. It is meat. I don't say that to pump up Stephen. But this is a thing that is there. I can never change your heart, and I'll do well to recognize that. I need to preach and teach the truth to you. If it is the truth from the Lord, you need to get it. I need to get it. But there needs to be that allowance of growth and time. And here, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, verse 24, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, to be able to teach, patient. With a pastor, there's preaching, there's teaching. Patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Acknowledging of the truth. With some time and some understanding and knowledge in the Word of God, you can find somebody that doesn't know about some things. You can take that and handle that the wrong way, even be speaking truth to them and crush them. And I don't need to be guilty of that. Because I am not the Spirit of God. I pray and trust the Spirit of God is moving in me and working in me as pastor, but I'm not the Spirit of God. Any one of us is not the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God living within. And I beseech you, I beg you, seek the Lord's face in the affairs of our church, because we together need to know what the Lord wants us to do. But we need to take what we have and be skillful. Some brother would chide me about that use of being skillful in the Word of God. But we do. We need to pray that the Lord will give us a discernment about what and when and how much. How does the Lord refer to us? What animal, brethren? It'd do us well to study about being a sheep. Sheep are pretty much don't get it. Need to remember that. I'm a sheep, you're a sheep. Sheep don't drive well. Sheep will get all out of sorts real quick. Sheep will get in trouble all the time. Good study. We probably ought to do that, shouldn't we? We're sheep. We got to remember that. And so, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, it's the Lord that must work, but we must do that which we've been given to do. Any opportunity the Lord blesses us with, and seek opportunities to be a good witness of Him, to be a help, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by Him at His will. You know, if I don't have the meekness that I should have, from the human standpoint, I can blow it with somebody and ruin any opportunity to be a good witness and a help to them. I know the Lord's in control, but I'm not living on the Lord's side. He's on that side. I'm living on this human here on this dirt ball side. You hear me? We don't know what's going to happen the next minute, do we? What's it say? If God peradventure, we don't know if He will or won't. But we need to behave as if He will. Remember about sowing in hope? Right? Right? Those things that the Lord's given us understanding about His working and His side, those things give us confidence. But may the Lord help us not to get over there and think we can meddle and know the mind of God. We've been given what we've been given to do. I learned a thing here very recently. And this phrase here, those that oppose themselves. And meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. There's people in this world that every bit of the way of their life is just killing them. It's ruining them. It's ruining them. It's flushing their life down the toilet, if you will, and it's doing that same thing to their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. They oppose themselves. I can come in there as a man of God, as a preacher, as a pastor, and just blow them out. Maybe they need blowing out. Maybe they don't. Maybe they need some kindness. Maybe they need the truth and love. I'm not talking about laying down when something comes up that needs to be talked about. The Lord will lead us in those things. We don't need to be a spiritual and a scriptural wimp. Okay, I'm not saying that. But in this thing that I recently experienced here, you know, in the area, you know, brothers and sisters, even those that oppose themselves and all that they do in their way of life, their grief is still great. We might have the attitude and say, well, they've lived that way. What else can they expect? And in a sense, that's true. But you know what? They are still a soul in need of salvation.
Amen.
You know, those guys at the jail, they deserve to be there if they're guilty. If they're guilty, that's where they deserve to be. They deserve to pay for what they've done. But yet their soul is of value. I'm not saying that we do, but we never need to have an attitude to say, well, let that soul pass. Let that soul pass. No. That's not ours to do. Titus chapter 3. Here, the Apostle Paul also admonishing this preacher and pastor. Again, these are good for all of us, but there are specifically two men that are called by God. In chapter 3, and you know Titus there at Crete, man, he's given a tall order, and the brother that tells about where he's going to work tells about one of their prophets and what he says about the Cretans, and it isn't pleasant, okay? But it's the truth. But in chapter 3 here it says in verse number 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities. These are the people that are there, those in the church. And powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Not selective, but it says to all. Power, I think that's the best definition as I understand it of meekness. There is humility involved. There is gentleness involved. There is compassion that's involved. But the best way that I understand it, and we've seen about these fruits of the Spirit, how they are intertwined. You can't deal with one without stepping or bringing in another one. But that thing that I see about meekness, I like that definition of power under control. If you will, physically, you got the ability to whip everybody in the house. Just because you can, you don't. But you use what the Lord's helped and blessed with for the benefit and edification of sinners and saints. May the Lord help us. That's what the Lord did, isn't He? In regards to pastors and preachers, the biggest thing for a preacher and for a pastor, the biggest challenge that we have, I believe, in the ministry and the calling that the Lord's called us into, and you think about the prophets, and I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but I mean those men of God that we're told about in the Scriptures, the prophets, the apostles, the deacons, the other brethren that are listed there in the Scriptures that were faithful in the Lord's churches, the greatest challenge that we have is to get over ourselves. We've got to get over ourselves. I got to get over. If I'm going to serve the Lord well here as pastor, I got to get over me. The Lord doesn't bless because of me. He blesses because He wants to bless. And I get this to be near it. The Lord doesn't save sinners because I preach some great message. But He saves sinners because He's pleased to, and He takes His word and uses it. I need to be diligent about my work and calling. I need to get over me. And that's what meekness talks about. Getting over me. The Lord blesses with ability. Praise God for it. And use it for His service. May the Lord help us to get over ourselves. Because we're not where we are because of us. We're where we are because of what the Lord has given us and done for us. Meekness. A couple of scriptures here and we'll close. Psalms 25, take a look over here. The same word that's in the Hebrew that's referred to, that Moses is referred to by the Lord. You know, the Lord loves meekness in His children. Listen to these scriptures. We'll just read them quickly. Psalms. I don't know if I said Psalms or Proverbs. Psalms 25, verse number 8, the scripture says, good and upright is the Lord. Amen and amen. That is good and upright is the Lord. Amen. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Verse 9, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. Not raise up in the ability that the Lord's given us and having made us in His image and His likeness, and allowing that to cause us to think and to operate that we're independent of God, but that we remember that we've been created to honor and glorify God in each and everything. That's the reason we've been created. And to say, Lord, You've given me ability. You've given me strength. You've given me life. But Lord, I take that and I submit that to You. Meekness. The Lord's pleased with meekness in His people. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 19. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Here, that word lowly is the same word for meek. Meek, that was used there describing Moses. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, or the meek, than to divide the spoil with the proud. The Lord loves meekness in His children. Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Does that sound familiar? I think we have one that we love and adore that preached a message that way, didn't he? Right there on the Sermon on the Mount. The meek are going to inherit the earth. Right now, the bold and the forward seek to inherit the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Men that look to take over the earth today, they do it by war and by politic, by pressure, by might. But the Lord's children, those that are meek, that the Lord will give the earth unto, we like peace, don't we? Not peace at any cost. Because that would yield a false peace, but peace in truth.
Amen?
Amen? Right. Peace in truth. Lastly, Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse number 3. Listen. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. You hear that? Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. We line up with what the Lord says. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Because the Lord hates pride. The ungodly and the sinner is not meek. The ungodly and the sinner has not received the word and the way of the Lord. But we that have been visited by the Spirit of God, Praise God, that's what salvation's done for us. We've taken God's side against ourselves, against this old man. His judgment is true and right and pure and everlasting. And we need the Lord. Do you know that you need the Lord? Do you understand that? We need the Lord, don't we? We need Him. You know what? And I like needing Him. Don't you? Amen. You need the Lord, and it's kind of like the workers of and the coal mine say and different industry in that, and they had the company stores. They needed the man. They needed the employer for the job, and they needed the employer for their stuff, and they were stuck. Well, I'm glad I need the Lord. Now, we don't feel stuck, do we? No, we've been rescued. Meekness. May the Lord help us in that. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and look unto this one that was meek. Not weak, but meek. And completed and fulfilled everything necessary for sinners like you and me to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is able. He is the Savior. Not a Savior, the Savior. So the salvation of your soul will only be accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe on Him.